hi, everybody. It's the day before St. Paddy's Day and the day after the Ides of March. It's March 16th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. A momentous day in between, sandwiched between those two dates, okay? All right, this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being here today. We're going to travel down to Texarkana, Arkansas. Okay, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, down to the Southwestern Arkansas Educational Cooperative, meet their director, Phoebe Bailey, and also have and joining us in that conversation is Dr. Joan Wade, the executive director of the Association of Educational Service Agencies, AESA. It's going to be a nice conversation about what this particular agency is doing and their support for rural schools, which is a topic we always love here. Because this show is going to be archived at our home website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's our proud organization. Join with us. It's free. We want your voice heard over at ace-ed.org. Our keystone over there is our magazine, Equity and Access. It's an online journal. You'll love it if you take a few minutes to read it. Tell everybody, your colleagues, et cetera, what we're doing over there. We want them involved with us, too. Our podcasts are over there. Everything's over there. And, again, free for educators over at ace-ed.org. And now, as though in magic, we're flying down from Maine, where I am, down to Texarkana, Arkansas. Am I correct there, Phoebe? Arkansas?
It's Arkansas, but I'm actually in Hope, which is Hope, Texarkana is one of my schools. Yeah, but I actually am in Hope.
You're like Bill Clinton Hope.
But like Bill Clinton Hope, yes.
He was born. Wow, that's incredible. Welcome to the show today. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. Joan, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Joan. Where are you today, in Wisconsin?
I am in Wisconsin, so it sounds to me like we have the Northeast covered and the South covered and the Midwest covered. It's awesome.
We got everything covered to the Mississippi River, a little bit beyond that, down in Hope, Arkansas. Right? Am I right, Phoebe? I'm right, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we're heading west, but we're not quite. Well, we're kind of there because I always say Arkansas is the South, Oklahoma is the West. Am I right, Phoebe?
Yes.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that. Okay, it's great. Joan, tell us about your organization, AESA, just so we get the whole picture here.
I'm glad to do that. AESA is the Educational Service Agency, and we're the national organization that supports these regional entities that are in existence in 45 states across the country, similar to Arkansas. And we've got a great story to tell. These regional service agencies work with a group of school districts, mostly public, but some privates as well, and serve their needs in whatever they need. So they are very close to the pulse of the school. Some do special ed services. Some do a lot of professional development. Yep. A lot of support during this pandemic year. We have got some amazing stories of work that our members have been doing in their local school districts to really help them through this very, very difficult time of remote learning and supporting students wherever they are, whether they're blended or remote. Everything from early on trying to help get lunches to kids and now in the later on during this pandemic, that it's been getting vaccinations out to teachers and making sure that they are able to be in schools with kids. So I know Phoebe's been doing some really interesting things in Arkansas to support the rural schools and the urban, suburban areas as well. So I'm really anxious for everyone to hear some of the work that her organization has been doing.
And I can't say enough about educational service agencies. We work with them here all over the country. They are the hidden gem of education. And I hope everybody realizes that. It's AESA.us if you want to learn more at the association website. Phoebe, what's Hope like? How big a town is Hope where you are?
There's about, we've got a population of about 10,000 in around Hope, and then we're only 30 minutes from Texarkana. We're actually, I can be in Texas in 30 minutes. I can be, we're close to Louisiana, so another hour and a half, and I'm there. So literally the southwest corner.
And I was excited because I have actually been to Texarkana. Okay, I live in Maine. Okay, but I've been there.
Okay.
And the fun of it, and it's kind of like being in Kansas City, Missouri, okay, where they have, I don't know what the name of the street is in Texarkana, but it's in Missouri, it's the same exact thing in Kansas City. And the fun is walking from one state to the other down the street.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes.
It's just fun. What can I tell you? I looked up on the website for Southwest Arkansas Ed Co-op, and it took me to Texarkana. Is that your headquarters?
No, I don't know why it did that. That's one
it
of our member
that.
Schools.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. We're even going to give you an address here. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Give me a minute. I got to just scroll up a little bit. Oh, no, it does say Hope, Arkansas. There was a picture from Texarkana. That's what mixed me up. It was like a brick building in Texarkana. That's what it was.
Yeah, they
okay?
just opened a new school, so that's probably
where we
were probably
at. Oh, that's
what it is.
I thought that's where you guys were. Okay, you're right. Hope, Arkansas, I didn't see the very top of that. Okay, South Main Street, I went right to the picture. There you go. Okay, so how's life at 2502 South Main Street? Is it okay? Is it good?
Slowly getting back to semi-normal. Yeah, we're pretty good. We've got almost all of our staff vaccinated. So,
oh, good.
All the ones that wanted to be, we just finished our second round last week. So, that we're feeling better now.
Oh, that's good. I got my second shot coming up this coming Saturday here in Maine. Are teachers vaccinated in Arkansas?
Yes. Our governor made that a priority. We were in, we did the nursing homes, and over 70, they were first, and then we were in the second round.
Okay.
So we were very appreciative of that.
Yeah, that's good. And up here in Maine, they just passed that. So teachers are just getting in line, okay, with everybody else, but they are now eligible regardless of age. It's interesting the way that's working out. And just talk about the horror, if I may, or the good stuff you did through your Southwest Arkansas Ed Co-op, okay, the wonderful ESA down there. Talk about what you guys had to go through during the pandemic.
Well, it was actually a year ago when our governor, we were going to shut down for 2 weeks, and that didn't quite work.
That's Asa Hutchinson, isn't it?
Yes, Asa. We shut down the whole spring. We were virtual. But during that time, that's when everyone became an expert on Zoom. So not only from my standpoint, I was meeting with our Department of Ed. They're very much our partner, and so they were kind of using us as the liaison, and they would have Zoom meetings with us. There are 15 agencies in Arkansas, 15 co-ops, and then we would turn that around and have those Zoom meetings with our superintendents. So at the beginning, we were meeting with them daily, and that kind of band, it was usually still once a week, but we're still having those meetings with the department. But we were used to do things like we did the bid process for PPE, and that was interesting because I learned more about PPE supplies and where you could get them than I ever really wanted, because not only were we helping our member districts, we have 9 member districts here in the southwest corner, but we also run 3 to 5 special ed preschools. So I also had to get supplies for our staff, and we've got almost 400 preschool kiddos. So we had to make sure that they were equipped as well.
Did you say they were special ed preschools in particular?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Talk about that for a second. Somebody hasn't used that phrase for a while. Talk about that. How'd you get involved in that? That's really interesting. Special ed preschools run through the ESA.
Yeah. Right. That's one of our state missions. It's hard to find those teachers because in Arkansas,
brutal.
In Arkansas, they've changed the license. When we first started, you could have a pre-K-4 special ed license, but at some point they changed it to birth to pre-K. So that teacher really has to want to do that, and you got to – fight. We're trying to get that license back to pre-K four because sometimes it, you know, they just are not sure they want to stay in pre-K, and that at least gives them that flexibility. But sometimes it's as minor as, you know, speech impediments, and we can get them tested out. But
okay.
we have severe, profound. I mean, we have OT, PT, we have behavior specialists that work with them, autism, you name it, it's there. So it's
wow.
It helps. We really just try to catch them, and those that can be, like, the if it's like socialization, you know, some that may be delayed from not ever being exposed to anything. There's a lot of poverty, and if we can get those kiddos caught up, then they'll start kindergarten ready to go, rather than someone figuring all that out in kindergarten and getting them in the system then. So.
That's a tough job. And the Ed Co-op is running these preschools. How big an area are we talking about that you guys cover? Just mileage or however you can do that. Give people an idea.
And we're one of the smaller ones. We have four counties we're literally the southwest corner. Yeah. So every I would say most of us average 4 to 6 counties. Just depends. Some of those are going to have more districts because of more population. But
right.
We actually have the same amount of area. We just have fewer schools because of annexation and consolidation. So we're down to 9 districts, but same area that we've always had. They just kind of are grouping together instead of everybody having individual districts the way they have in the past. So.
And what are the demographics down there? Okay, well, just the way I mean, free and reduced lunch is something people use all the time. What are the demographics? I don't know how familiar
for our overall
with your area.
I would say 65 to 70%.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got some that are 100%. I've got some that are 50, but
yeah.
I would say when I do a co-op average, and we do that in our annual report every year, and we're running around 70% usually.
Wow. What can I say? It's tough. Is a lot of it rural?
Yes. Yeah. I laugh
is Hope,
when
the, is
we
Hope
also
the big
cover,
city? Is Hope the big
no,
city?
No, Texarkana is.
Oh, Texarkana is.
Okay. Yeah, they have a population. They're close to 70,000. So
right. It's a good size town.
They're on one of the I just saw last week the list where the feds are now trying to decide if they're recategorizing metro areas, and Texarkana is on that list that I think it's always been 50,000, and they're wanting to bump it up to a population of 100,000, so they would lose that title of metro, which then would possibly impact some of the grants that they have. So
right.
Everyone's kind of curious how that's going to play out. But no, Texarkana is our biggest, and then we go down to our smallest district, K-12, has like 380 probably,
ooh.
380 kids. Yeah.
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 Wow. That you got a lot to cover there, I have to tell you. It's a lot. 9 districts and all that difference in between that, okay, covering a large area and about 65% free and reduced lunch. Okay, that's a lot. And I love this, the whole idea of you guys providing preschool for special ed. I think that's very, very important and really a wonderful thing that you do. Are those teachers, are they a district teachers? How are they paid?
No.
Who pays
they're
them?
Our staff.
They're
we
your
do.
Staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so let me ask, who funds you guys? How are you guys funded?
We have a base funding that covers basically my salary, the bookkeeping staff, my assistant, and that's pretty much that. Then we have grants that come from the state that we can apply for. Then those cover like our content specialists. We've got math, literacy, science, GT, computer science, those types of positions.
Yeah, are you funded from the state or from the school districts, though? Who pays?
Both.
Who pays you?
Both. Both.
Wow.
Both.
That's a game. That's a
yeah,
game to play
we're
every
unusual.
Time.
We're, oh, yeah. And then our board is made up of our superintendents. So that's
well,
also...
That kind of makes sense, okay? That makes
sense.
Yeah,
but it's not true in every agency. I mean, that's Arkansas, but like when Joan had it, when Joan was director, her board, there were not a superintendent. So it makes sense because we're making decisions for them. It also is a balancing act when sometimes they, and they will, they're my board's very good to have those conversations of, okay, guys, we've got to leave our superintendent hat at the door and think what's good for everyone. Because sometimes they'll say they want a program or don't want a program based on whatever is going on in their district. Joan has even had those conversations with one of my superintendents at one time.
Yep. That is correct.
I brought him to a meeting, and he had this project, but he wanted it just to be his district, and Joan was like, she can't do that.
That's not how
but,
it works.
Yeah.
So it's the way it works. Well, it's really a balance game, I got to tell you. And what are the superintendents, your board, whoever, okay, what are – you have a 9-person board, right, 9 superintendents, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so exactly. What do they say they need? And you were talking, before I interrupted you, I just wanted to get into that, but you were talking about personal protection equipment, okay? What are they saying they need now, okay, regarding everything that's going on, okay? And now we'll talk about how the kids are back to school or whatever. What do they say they need right now? What's their big thing?
Right now, we are trying to focus in on supporting mental health, behavior, and trauma because it's been...
Makes sense.
I mean, you were having issues before, but then this has just turned everything on its head. So we're trying to get those trainings in and support from that aspect, as well as helping them write with their digital plans so they can figure out from this point forward if, you know, we've all been thrown into the virtual world, so how is that going to continue when the pandemic is over? What have we learned from that we're going to take away and put into play in our new normal? So those are our two big focuses right now.
And hopefully we all learn something from this mess. I got to tell you, are the kids back in school, Phoebe?
Yes, yes. In Arkansas, we've been back this entire school year. Now,
oh, good.
That is not
good.
To say that everyone's there. I mean, we have still had schools that, you know, buildings, districts have had to shut down for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time as they've had quarantine issues. But we've been back. We've been following CDC guidelines with masking and social distancing, and it's been challenging, but they've made it work. And I never truly would have thought that we would manage to get through.
You got through.
I mean, I know we're not completely through yet, but
we'll get there.
I would.
Things are getting better, not worse.
You know,
things are getting better.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
We'll do okay, and we'll get through this. Do the kids, parents, I should say, have the option of keeping their kids home in every district?
Yes. Yeah. Right now, every district has that virtual option. When we started the year, some of our districts had as much as 50% of their kids virtual.
Oh, sure.
By
yeah.
this point, I would say the most anyone has probably is 20 to 30, as you know, because they just get more comfortable and numbers have decreased, and some of the parents have had the aha that some kids are just not equipped or have the support system at home to continue virtual. So as parents have been able to transition back to work, some of the kiddos that were virtual at the beginning have now transitioned back to face-to-face. And our districts have been impressed with the way some of them have handled it. I mean, we've got one high school that their only request, they don't say, you know, you can't come back except at certain times, but they do request that if you're coming back, you come back on a Monday, and they have like an orientation. You spend the first half of the day going over these are the processes, these are procedures, just getting them acclimated again and figuring out what services they need rather than just trying to throw them back in the middle of everyone's routine. So I think that's been very beneficial for them as well.
Yeah, and you touched on this because they're asking for they see the blanket thing is social emotional learning, mental health, trauma informed education, etc. What have you heard? How that has really impacted the schools this year? Have they been going through the hammers of heck over this, or what are you hearing, just in general?
My behavior specialists are working their fingers to the bone. I mean, they're seeing kids that have been added to their caseload. We have had some experiences, luckily. Right before all of this happened, we were working with a partner that helped some of our schools. It's not in all of our schools because not everyone needed that staffing, but they almost have like a mental health or it's like a kiosk where the kid can almost come in and it's telehealth is basically what it is. But
there's companies like Presence Learning. I know a number of those places, that do that. That's
good.
This one also
has someone assigned that they come in and check face-to-face, like, and follow up. So that's been very helpful as well.
Are they looking to hire more school counselors? Has that been a request come through?
Not necessarily counselors. They're truly wanting more behavior specialists. I think they feel like the behavior specialist could catch some of the issues earlier, maybe, and give strategies to the teachers to help partner with that. So I think if they had a magic wand and could create those positions, finding that person is
easier than saying you want them. Saying you want them is far easier than finding them these days. It's just it's just brutal out there. We really need these people. It's just something, and it's been let go for quite a while, and it's coming. The birdies are coming home to roost. It's not good. Who was prepared for this? For goodness sake! And just from what you're hearing anecdotally. From your superintendents, okay? What are they planning for next year? Anything special, or is there going to be an extension of the school year or extension of hours or anything like that to make up for
this
year?
Some of them are. We actually talked about that in board meeting last week, and some of them are looking at extending or starting their quote-unquote summer school, but really it's going to be just an early start to the school year. You know, they'll put doing summer school maybe in mid to late July, so then it just flows into the upcoming school year rather than doing it, in June when it's traditionally. Some of them are looking at tutoring programs. So, those conversations are, especially as they get their ESSER funds and CARES dollars and try to figure out the best use of those funds. So those are definitely discussions that they're having.
And within your Southwest Arkansas area, how was the accessibility to broadband during the pandemic? It was
I think you just answered
the question.
Some it was fine, and for others, very challenging. The area... Actually, my home area where I graduated, they're very challenged as far as broadband access. So we were sending out hotspots that we had, and we were putting them on buses and sending them on dirt roads when they would make the, as Joan mentioned, food deliveries. Yeah,
yep.
So when the food was coming out, so was hotspots, and the bus would just stay at whatever place for X amount of time, and people were able to access from that. We actually made all of our internet here public. So people could come sit in our parking lots and have access to our Wi-Fi as well. So that's been a big challenge. Yeah, we had a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
Half of them had major issues with that.
Yeah, and you aren't the only group in the whole country who's suffering from that. It's a mess. And I always use the analogy, and Jones probably heard me say this, of the TVA back in the 1930s when we gave electricity to everybody. We made electricity available to rural America. And that was so important. They could listen to the news, okay? They get power and all that sort of stuff. And it's the same thing now with broadband, and we really have to do something about this. We have to make this accessible to everybody, okay? And it's a key
totally
thing.
Agree.
And yeah, and it's just – it's something that we should – and, you know, you talk about learning a lesson, okay? We should have learned that lesson in the 1930s when we gave everybody electricity. We saw how important it was. So you prepare ahead. Nobody could have known this pandemic was coming per se, but it has been mentioned that there could be a pandemic for years now. Okay, Ebola, as an example, a couple of years ago, was the beginning of this stuff. All right, we knew, but we keep kicking the can down the road, and we got to stop doing that. And every kid needs to have access. Every family needs to have access. Otherwise, they're out of luck, and it's a terrible, terrible equity question. It really is, and I hope you guys can solve that. And I bet that's one of the things. And actually, you mentioned this before. You said that the superintendents are coming to you. Okay. Now, and the top thing on their mind is mental health, behavioral, and all that. Okay, how can you, as an ESA, help them? What are you guys doing right now with their particular needs, okay, and helping them as they coalesce around you? You're their service agency. How do you do this?
We actually have two behavior specialists, one for our preschool age kiddos and then one for K-12.
Wow.
And in addition to that, the professional development and really trauma and mental health, my assistant director, that is her, if I had to say her passion project, that would be it.
Good.
So she is very engaged in that and setting up training and support. And then we've also tried to help from the teacher standpoint as looking at their mental health. We have a recruitment and retention person that deals with our novice teachers. And I cannot even imagine the hours that she's been on Zoom. I mean, like literally every day, she just has a Zoom room where the teachers can come in and she meets with them and supports them. So we've tried to have wraparound services for everyone. And we're actually looking and trying to work through the process that within the next year and a half, we are trying to open a charter school that would focus on trauma-informed practice for behavior kiddos. And our schools are very supportive of that because they realize even though they would be technically losing a student, they know that it's a student that right now is not being served, and they're very, you know, that's their main goal is to make sure the kids get what they need, and that's the process that we're working through now is to try to wrap around and get that taken care of.
It's
so, Larry,
brutal.
If I could...
Yes, Joan, of course.
I didn't mean
to ignore you. I was just concentrating on Phoebe, my dear. You know that.
I know that. That's why I brought her on. She does amazing work down in Arkansas.
Yes,
and I just wanted to jump in about that. Well, I think Phoebe said that is really, really important. And that is when our members, the educational service agencies across the country, are meeting with their superintendents typically on a monthly basis, if not more frequently than that. So they find out what those needs are. Like Phoebe mentioned, these behavioral specialists. And then because they're at a regional level, they find ways to fund those positions. So it might be asking the school districts to pool their money together so they can pay for a position and then share that position between multiple school districts. In other cases, it might be going to the legislature and lobbying for money to pay for those kind of supports.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in some cases it might be going to the State Department of Ed. But they're just tenacious about, okay, we need this. We've got to figure out how to fund it if the school districts can't pay for it. So it's phenomenal, and it's different in every state depending on where their base funding comes from. But they don't give up. They will continually push for how are we going to do this. And it's amazing when you put groups of people together to brainstorm and problem solve together what they can accomplish. I see it every day with ESAs across the country, and it's great work and meeting the needs of kids.
Well said, my dear, and you don't have to convince me, and I hope I don't have to convince the audience by this stage how much I appreciate the work of ESAs. Okay, and you're absolutely right, okay? You know, it's a e pluribus unum on a smaller scale for many one. If you go in there with the power of 9 or 20 or whatever school districts, okay, it's not like one person talking, okay? You've got a group behind you, and their needs are well said and much louder. The squeaky wheel, if I may, gets the grease, okay? And you just got to do that. I have to ask you a question. Joan, I'll ask you, and you can pass it to Phoebe if you want. We've been using the word behavior specialist. Okay, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Who is that behavior specialist? What is it? Are they school psychologists? What are they? Joan, I'll ask you. You can throw it to Phoebe, whatever. Go ahead.
I think Phoebe probably can talk to the training. They have specific training and education to be a behavior specialist. So it's different than a school psychologist or psychiatrist, and it's different than a social worker. It's specifically training that they go to, and sometimes even to the master's and doctorate level, on how do you analyze a student's behavior or a kiddo's behavior so you can change that behavior inside the school and inside the homes. A lot of behavior specialists also work with families in the homes, but Phoebe, you probably know more about that than I can describe.
Yeah, Phoebe, who is
In Arkansas,
person?
there's actually a license for a behavior specialist. And it is, but they also, there's also national standards and a national assessment, and our K-12 has already finished that and is mentoring our pre-K, and hopefully he's maybe a semester or two from having that national certification as well.
Got it. Okay. Okay, and I have to ask this because I'm not sure myself. What kind of behavior are we talking about? Are we talking about disciplinary behavior or other things? When you say behavior,
everything. It can be disciplinary, where they're destroying the room. It can be emotional, where they're just withdrawn, not communicating with anyone, or crying, or any and all behavior issues. Autism, the type of behavior that comes from that.
Okay.
And with the autism, that's such a big, that's such a large spectrum that in itself to be able to analyze the behavior on that autism spectrum and be supportive and help families change that behavior and teachers. It's really an important skill set for a professional to have.
It really is. And let me ask this question. I'll ask Phoebe. Phoebe, how many of these do you need? I mean,
more than
I
have. As small as we are, I could easily take another two and keep them busy full time. I would love.
It's really so. I must ask. I just realized you're down in Arkansas. I have a friend down there who's a school psychologist. Do you know a guy named Howie Knopf down there? He's in Little Rock.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Howie's a good friend of ours, and he's on the show quite often.
Everybody knows Howie Knopf.
Everybody knows Howie. I know he worked at the State Department of Education for a while. Okay. And he's a good friend. It just dawned on me. I just made the Arkansas connection in my head as we were talking. Yeah, he's just a good guy and a good friend. He's on the show a lot with me and does articles in our magazine, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a little connection there. Everybody knows Howie. I'm going to tell him that.
He ran the SIG grant for the state for a while.
Yeah, he's
and I have no idea what those initials stood for, but I just remember that's my connection.
That's what I'll find out for you, okay? I'll send him the show so he can hear you. What's your favorite thing, Phoebe Bailey, okay? Tell me, what do you have a passion project? You mentioned your assistant. Theirs, I think, was behavior. What's yours? What's your passion project?
I guess it's,
that you,
I guess my passion project would be my goal and what I come to work every day is to try to help others make sure that they have the avenues. I don't want to, you know, I want to give them that open door where problem solving and working through how can we make this happen. And if I can help them with that, with problem solving and figuring out a solution, then that's a perfect day for me.
Oh, that's good. And I must ask, you mentioned you have people working in different curriculum areas at the ESA, right? You mentioned that earlier before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
right.
You mentioned there's Director of Social Studies, I guess ELA. That's it. Which one is the busiest because of the pandemic? Who's busy? Who's the busiest right now?
Our
literacy specialists are the busiest.
Well, technology is busy, but our literacy specialists are also busy because our state has a big focus on science of reading.
Yeah,
so
I know they do.
While,
it's tremendous.
Yeah.
I've had your state commissioner on that. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
We've been doing that,
even though they haven't been in the classrooms as much, they've been writing the PD and making the videos that support all of that, as well as Zooming with the teachers. So that's been their extreme, and computer science. Oh, yes, our computer science person, that's our governor's pet project and has really made great strides in what we've done in computer science.
That's a good one. And the science of reading, I'm just going to say this, and you guys know this, that is not just English teachers or ELA teachers, okay?
Exactly.
That's history. That's every teacher. Yeah, no matter what you want to do in your life, you're going to have to read. Reading matters in social studies and science and everything else. And there is a science behind reading, and I know you guys are strong on this. Okay, and I'm thrilled whenever I hear good stuff in Arkansas. That's one of the big things that came out over the last year.
Everyone, including our staff, we've all had the training and
good.
It keeps our people busy. So yeah.
Well, your state's doing well, okay? And I just want everything to
Thank
go
you.
Well down there. And I want this pandemic to be over so we can get back to a new normal, okay?
Yes.
And hopefully,
yes.
Because we can make up for what's lost this year if we have broadband into the houses. The kids can do an hour of work every day over the summer, okay? It can be
totally
made up.
I totally agree.
Okay, but it's got to
totally
really
agree.
Happen. It's really good. You're something, Phoebe. I wish you the best down there.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you for having
lady.
Me.
Well,
and we need
me
to tell Joan happy birthday before we let her off the line.
Joan?
Oh, shoot.
Joan?
Yes,
Joan,
sir. Yes.
Today? Mm-hmm. Today?
It is today.
29 or how old?
And
29?
Holding forever.
29. Happy birthday to Joan. Happy birthday. No.
That's okay. Thank you.
The day, think
Happy
how much
birthday,
between
Joan.
The Ides of March and St. Paddy's Day. We have Joan Day.
I know. I know.
Joan
I know.
Day. That's it.
Joan
All
Day.
Right.
right.
Thank you both very much.
Happy birthday. Happy 29th.
I'm glad this isn't a video conference. My face is very red. So
it should not be red. You deserve at least another 29. Okay, and maybe more for goodness sakes. Okay, it's great, Joe. Happy birthday. Can you go out? Are you vaccinated enough to go out for your birthday?
I am not, but my husband is. So I think we probably will go out for dinner with masks
good.
On.
Make him
good.
Cook.
Go do it.
Well, I could do that too.
And we did this the other night. We're both one shot in, me and my wife. But we went to one of the restaurants, even here in Maine, where it's freezing. They had outdoor dining with the heaters, and it worked.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we were able to eat outside on a patio, okay, in 20-degree weather, and it was warm and toasty. And they even had for our they love this. You ready, Phoebe? They even had for
yes.
our tushies. They had battery operated pads that could hold heat. Okay,
that's
battery
awesome.
Operated for our tushies up to 2 hours at 100 degrees. They didn't put it that high, or we would have roasted. But incredible!
I love that.
So make them take you out for a steak. Happy birthday!
Thank you much. It was great to spend this time of the day with you guys. I appreciate it.
Have a warm tushy outside outside in Wisconsin today. Okay.
Will do. Thank you, Larry.
That's
Thank
great.
You, Phoebe.
Thank you,
Thanks
ladies.
For taking the time.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Joan. I'll talk to you later. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Joan Wade, happy birthday. Wow, big deal. This is great. And Phoebe, thanks a million. You got a good ESA down there. I'll tell you, you're working hard. It is tough out there. Wow, okay. But it's Joan's birthday. Okay, tucked in between the Ides of March and St. Patty's Day. All right. So we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity. Join with us. It's fun. And our magazine's over there. You'll love it if you take a minute to go over there. Check it out. Read the magazine. It will enthrall you and engage you. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us today. And happy birthday, Jill.